Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Welcome to another edition of Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen here on Thursday afternoon. We are blessed to have the opportunity to speak with you today about issues that affect everybody on a daily basis. I will be conducting the first half hour of the show speaking about depression and choices that people have to make. But you do have the opportunity to call in to the show at 347-989-1363 and press the number 1 to be put into the queue to ask your question if you so have one. If you like social media, Facebook, you can go to Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can go to Lloyd S. Rosen. Check us out at those two places. You can email me questions at bowler900@sbcglobal.net. You can go to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, and you can become a guest on our show. If you have a book that just came out, if you have a topic you want to get out and talk about, you can go to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, press the register to be a guest tab, and sign up, and we'll get back to you with all the information that you need to become a guest on our show. You can listen to it live there, or you can contact me personally there. You can go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com to learn all about the other shows that we have, and we do have a number of them discussing different topics that are important to people on a daily basis. You can go and download our show at iTunes. You can listen to it as many times as you'd like, ask questions of me by going to my email address and sending them to me, and getting all the information on a to-need basis if you want to. That way you don't have to worry about missing the show. You have it at your fingertips. Today, like I said, the first half hour of the show is going to be a continuation, more or less, of the discussion I had last week with all of you about symptoms of depression and how it's affected people, whether you be rich, poor, black, white, man, woman, child. It doesn't make it. Depression and suicide affects everybody. There's a number of different issues that can cause you to go into depression, but it does affect everybody. And this week, I want to discuss a topic of choice. I had, fortunately, when I lived in the Dallas area of Texas, I had a next-door neighbor of mine who was a Vietnam veteran, bust his leg in combat, and was still able to come through the war and live a productive life. He's written two books about his experiences in Vietnam. And his first book that I was fortunate to get and fortunate to read, his opening chapter in the book talks about choices, but we'll pick that topic up right after these commercials.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
So you think you're tough, tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to Life's Issues, and we were talking about choices, and I was talking about my neighbor who was a Vietnam veteran and wrote two books and basically said that in the first chapter of his book that everybody has choices. He had choices to make. When he was growing up, he decided to enlist, and he went to Vietnam and fought for our country. That was his choice. My choice was to go into the military at the age of 18. Didn't work out for me because I was suffering from depression. But everybody has choices. And the point I'm getting at here is the fact that people who suffer from depression and then turn to suicide as the only means to being happy, basically, I think personally, choose the wrong choice. But you do have that choice. You can choose to go to a therapist, a psychiatrist. You can choose to go to your friends, your teachers, your guidance counselors. You can go to your boss, your HR director. And I can tell you a story in a minute about me going to my HR director. But you all have choices in life, and the choice that you do not have to make is picking suicide, because as I say on a number of occasions, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Let me fill you in a little bit about my life and my story. I tried to commit suicide in 2001 while living in Florida. It didn't work. I had divine intervention. God interrupted me and said, Lloyd, you're not going anywhere. I've got work for you to do. So I turned the car away from the wall that I was going to drive it into and headed home. My wife was nice enough to help me get the help that I needed. 5 years passed. It was 2006. I was now living in the state of Texas, working for a hotel. The HR director, who knew me quite well, said, Lloyd, you have a problem because you're not yourself today. What is it? And I said, it's nothing. It's not your business. You do not need to know. And she said, we're not leaving anywhere soon because you're going to tell me and we're going to sit here until you do. So be it. We sat for about 10 more minutes, and I said, this is enough. I'm not going to deal with this. So I went on and I told her my story. She got me the therapy help that I needed. He got me the psychiatry help that I needed. I've been on medication for 8 years now, and I am totally, absolutely not afraid to talk about it privately, publicly to people in the street. I'm not afraid to talk about it here on this radio show. I believe that depression is something that needs to come out from behind the closed doors of being a taboo subject. Let's discuss, for example, Robin Williams. Robin Williams, incredible comedian, incredible actor, successful monetarily, family, kids. He had Parkinson's disease. One of the side effects of the medication was depression. He got so depressed that he hung himself in his room and died, taking away from us his talent, his success, everything that he has to give to us. And that is why everybody on this earth is here, because they are put here to give. God does not send you here when you are born just to hang out for as many years as you have on this earth, just to drink, party, go to school, have a job, do whatever you're going to do. He sends you down here with the capabilities of making choices, and the choices that he wants you to make are ones that help your fellow human being. And that's one of the reasons that I do this show. I was interviewed, probably about 2-3 years ago, by the producer of my show, and he was nice enough to explain to me that he has this radio outlet that he could get me a host opportunity in. I got it. I've been on now. This is starting my second year, and I thank him very much for it because it has opened up some doors for me. I hope it opens up many more doors. So I, as an example of choice, I could have taken that plunge into the wall, throwing myself from my car on that night and never been heard from again. But God stopped me, like I said, and he said to me, Lloyd, I've got work for you to do, and you are going to do it. And here I sit, about 4 years later, doing his work. And I do mean that sincerely, doing his work. It's not my work. It's not your work. It's not my mother's choice. It's not my father's choice. It's God's choice for me to be doing what I'm doing here. And that's another thing. I found out what I was supposed to be doing when I was 49 years old. Some people say that's kind of a late time to find out what you want to do. It's never too late to find out what you want to do in life. It was 49 when I found it out. I'm 58 now. A lot of water under the bridge, a lot of experiences, but I'm still speaking out about it, and that is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be saving lives just by talking. I have LloydRosen.com, which is my personal website, which has a blog on it. I read it every day as far as the comments are concerned, and there are people out there who have commended me for being so downright, straightforward, honest about the topic of depression and the topic of suicide, and they asked me to keep writing, that they would be checking in and reading what I have to say, because I may not know it, but I may be saving their life by giving them information that they need to carry on their life on a day-to-day basis. So here again, it doesn't make a difference whether you're helping somebody personally or whether you're just out there talking about it, because you could be running into somebody at the store, standing in line checking out. You could be going to the department store, looking for clothes, talking to the clerk. You could be in line at the movie theaters. It doesn't make a difference where you are, what you're doing, as long as you do not have the ability to shut down when you're talking to people and you have the ability to open up and express yourself to people. You will always help people get through and past some of the stuff that they have in their life going on, because I don't think there's one person out there right now who can say to me that they know exactly how little Johnny or Brenda or anybody else feels just by looking at them, because people hide emotions very well. I was one of those people who hid the emotions for so long that my parents didn't even recognize the fact that I suffered with depression. My mother today says, I always knew you could succeed at school. I always knew you could succeed at jobs. I always knew you could succeed at life. And little does she know that I couldn't succeed at anything. I was a C student at school. I was a C student in elementary school, junior high school. I didn't have the grades to go to college. I didn't go to college until January of 2010, where I went to online college, got a degree in social sciences, and now I totally understand the total thinking of human beings, because I took psychology and I took sociology, and I have a better understanding of how the human mind works, which we will get to in a little while. My second guest today is a gentleman who deals in the brain and how it works as far as making you live and you have a progressive positive life instead of a negative downtrodden life. So, but you just have to keep digging, keep moving. I don't know why people are afraid to live a life that feels like they need to hide behind things, because I personally feel that there's too much in today's society of people thinking, men, for example, think that they're all he-men and they have to go out and hunt and they have to go take care of their wives. And that's true. That's what God says. Women should be taken care of by their husbands. But men do have emotions. Men do have feelings. And men need to understand that they are not the end-all to protecting their wives, protecting their girlfriends, protecting their loved ones from life. But they have to understand that the emotions that they have pent up inside of them that God has given them to use are there to be used, and they need to use them. Women, on the other hand, use their emotions quite well, and they have to understand and learn how men are so they can get their emotional needs met by their men. And I have learned very recently that in a relationship between a man and a woman, you have to express how you feel as a man to the woman that you are with. The woman needs to express her feelings to the man. If they have to become one in terms of their emotional stability to make their marriage work, because I was involved in a marriage and I did not express my feelings to my wife, and turned out that turned out to be a bad thing because I was suffering from depression. I didn't want to share it with her. I never shared it with her until after the fact, and then she got me the help I needed. But you need to be one. You need to. You are two individuals. When you become one in a married situation, you are still two individuals, but you have become one in terms of a married unity, and you can't go it alone. I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong you think you are. Hillary Clinton said it one time. She said, it takes a village to raise a child. I personally never believed that, but now, many years later, I have seen it to be true that you cannot succeed as a human being in business. You cannot succeed in making a name for yourself in the world of business unless you have people to help you with it. That's what I use in my metaphor of it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a whole family. Aunts, uncles, cousins, it takes neighbors, it takes best friends, it takes a whole slew of people to raise a child. I know when I was being raised back in the 60s and the early 70s, if I did anything at my friend's house, boy, was I in for it, not just from my parents by the time I got home, but my friend's parents would scold me and let me know that I was wrong in doing what I was doing, and then I was really in trouble because then I had to wait to get home and deal with my father and my mother. So there's a lot of elements to life and a lot of elements to growing up and living your life according to the way that you're supposed to. And everybody in the world suffers from depression. When their parents die, they suffer from depression. When they get sick, they suffer from depression. When they lose friends that they've been close to, they suffer from depression. But depression doesn't have to lead to suicide. Suicide, the thought of suicide, will never lead to depression. But the depression will always lead and possibly take your life because of the depression. So all I'm saying is that think. You have choices in life. You have the ability, if you don't like the choice you made, doesn't mean that you're stuck in that spot. You can change your mind. You can change your whole livelihood. You can change your whole way of thinking. You can change your whole metaphor of what you're doing in life if you're not happy. I spent 30 years in the hotel business. I've been doing this whole, radio show. Now starting my second year, I'm phasing it into a nonprofit foundation. I'm phasing it into a book that is coming out. I have a second book that I will be bringing out shortly after that. I could have killed myself. I could have been gone for almost 15 years now and not been able to sit here and maybe possibly could be helping somebody by just talking. And I know some people are probably sitting out there saying, oh, what is he rambling about? Well, I could be rambling, yes. I have no qualms about calling it that. But in the meantime, I could be helping that one soul out there who's sitting home, who's happened to listen to this radio show, or a matter of not knowing what else to do in the afternoon, sitting at home doing nothing. And I may have saved that person from killing themselves this afternoon. I may have saved that person from killing themselves tomorrow. I may have saved any number of people from doing the deed that is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And I can tell you from my experience, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary issue, because as long as you get the help, which I did, and I wish Robin Williams would have, if you get the help you need, that temporary issue can be turned around to be a positive, and you could be out there sharing your experiences with the world. I know that my producer just came out with a great book, and it speaks to a lot of what I've been speaking to today in terms of getting out there and speaking, because your message may help one person. And if you help one person in this world, one person may go on to make a million positive things in this world, may become the President of the United States, may become the Secretary of State and save the world from another catastrophe. Any number of things may happen. You just have to realize, going back to what I said at the very beginning, you have choices in this world, and if you take the chance of stopping and listening to yourself and thinking about the choices you have and what you can create by making the correct choices, you can save the world single-handedly. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think. I know for a fact you can change the world single-handedly. All you have to do is believe in yourself and believe in the message that you want to get out there to people. And just continue positively thinking, because the positive will take you to the next level, and the next level will take you to another positive level. Negativity doesn't do anything but destroy people. So I ask that you go to my website, LloydRosen.com, read the blogs, leave your messages. I'm more than happy to hear them. I'm more than happy to read them. I'm more than happy to answer them. And if you want to get together with me, like I said at the beginning of my show, bowler900 at sbcglobal.net is my site for emailing me. Please, I'd love to hear from you. I am here to change the world one person at a time. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages with my guest.
Are you feeling burnt out or lost on where to go or what to do next when it comes to your business? If you feel like you own a job instead of a business, or if your business is running you instead of you running it, we can help. The Thrive Business Center was created to educate and support small business owners. With a strategic approach and a proven method, we'll help you identify what is working well in your business and what is not. Then, together, we can establish an action plan with an implementation process so that your business can get back to thriving. For more information, go to ThriveBusinessCenter.com. ThriveBusinessCenter.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Life's Issues. We are privileged, I should say, today to have a gentleman on who in 1999 had what has been called an awakening experience. He says that since 1999, his life has never been the same. He had a life prior to that that was full of anger, self-hatred, and regret. He in 2003, came up with an idea. By 2005, he was practicing that idea by traveling the world, teaching people how to use his process to let go of those things that prevent them from becoming the person they already were, but were afraid to embrace fully and becoming. That kind of leads back to what I was saying in the first half hour about you having choices. You can have a choice to live your life as a miserable human being, and you have an opportunity to get out there and take it and embrace it and use it to the fullest knowledge and experience that you want to. He has a free ebook that you can get at his website, which I will let him talk about in a few minutes. But I'd like to get right to him. Let's welcome Mr. Grant Thomas Connolly. How are you, Grant?
Excellent, Lloyd. How are you?
Good, good. And I hope that I wasn't overstepping my bounds when I said that my monologue, the first half hour, was going to lead right into your topic and hopefully prove to people that what I was saying was true, that your topic will definitely help them get over their negative depression and suicide thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah, life is about choices, always. And you can make a choice that leads you nowhere, or you can make a choice that leads you to a richer, fuller life. It's up to you, basically.
Right. Now, I know from your phone number that we had, you're calling from Nevada?
Actually, I'm calling from Peru, Lima, Peru. I'm calling over Skype.
Oh, okay. Okay. Perfect. Then what are you doing in Peru?
Well, I teach this process that I've created all over the world. And past few years, I've been teaching down in South America. I taught a training in Buenos Aires and one in Mexico City. And there was a psychologist from here in Peru attended the Mexico City training. And he invited me here to Peru to integrate this idea that I have into the psychological community and to teach young psychologists how to use it.
Now, you created this back in 2003, and by 2005 mm-hmm. you were out on the road traveling and teaching people about the Z Point.
That's right.
How did you come up with the name Z Point, and give us a thumbnail, a description of what Z-Point is and how it works?
Well, truthfully, I dreamt the name Z-Point. I woke up one day and it was either Z-Point or Zero-Point, and I found out that Zero-Point was taken by a fellow in Australia for a process he created. So I just called it Z-Point. And it's a very simple thing, really, and it focuses on feelings, how you feel about certain things. And sometimes those feelings, those difficult feelings that you have, like regret or anger or all the difficult aspects of life, boil down to a feeling. The thoughts go along with them, of course, but first comes the feeling. So I created it. It came to me one night. I was sitting in my bathroom, of all places, and I had been reading a lot of different things, and I put everything together somehow. It was like it was like I reached up and brought this idea down. And as soon as I had it, it was like an explosion of an idea. And quite literally, I fell in love with the idea of how this all fit together. And, you know, sometimes in life we're very fortunate to have a really good idea. And most of us, we don't do anything with it, so those ideas go unrealized. But this particular one, I decided to go for it, and I put the idea out onto the Internet. I think I told about 10 people to start with. And those 10 people told 10 people who told 10 people. And you know the way things work. And before long, man, I was just going all over the place teaching this.
Now, and you said you – go ahead.
Well, you asked how it works. It's a very simple thing. It's there's a paragraph. I call it a healing intention or a healing program. You read it. It goes into your subconscious mind. It's completely benign, and what it does is it only allows the best of all possible outcomes to any situation, circumstance, relationship, or feeling that you bring to it. And what it does is it releases your attachment to those difficult feelings that cause you problems. And those difficult feelings are connected to certain thoughts you have. And once you sever that connection between that feeling and that and those thoughts, things start to look an awful lot brighter, a lot more positive than they were before. And for some reason, this particular process completely releases your attachment to those feelings. And they're quite literally gone. So, and I don't really know how it works. I have some ideas. Like I said, it was an inspiration. And, you know, I'm a pretty smart person, but I don't think even I'm smart enough to come up with how this actually works and the fact that it does work and it works so effectively.
And it's changed. Now, you were saying, I was reading on your blog about you and your life and how you had anger issues and so forth and so on. So when you came up with this Z point, you started using it on yourself first and foremost.
Yeah.
And
first
you found
and foremost.
Out that it worked.
Yeah, well, when you're really unhappy, I went through a circumstance. I spent about 6 months sitting on my couch watching TV, feeling very blown away. And I decided that I didn't want to live that way anymore. I don't know why I reached that decision, but I was absolutely determined to make a change. And, you know, when you make a decision to do something and your decision is very firm, it starts the ball rolling and situations and circumstances will literally come to you that carry you further down that road. It's like following a string, you know. You just have to follow it. And that's basically what happened to me. And I'm still following that string here in Peru, to tell you the truth.
Now, with this Z-Point program, you have written, as I said in the introduction, you've written a free ebook that people can get, and I'll give you the opportunity to talk about that in a minute. But I'm looking at your website, zpointforpeace.com, and I suspect just by reading this that Allowing Happiness on Cue, is that another book that you've written?
Yes, that's published by a fellow in Washington, D.C. It's available on Amazon.com, Allowing Happiness on Cue. The way the process works is, as I said, there's a healing intention or healing program, and you activate it by repeating a special word. That word happens to be yes. So I like your tagline, say yes to life, you know. So you simply repeat that word, yes, 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 as you're taken through this very simple process. And what it does is it puts you into a meditative state, a very deep meditative state. And this is not hypnosis, by the way. It's meditation. And from that state, it activates or it accesses all the feelings in your subconscious mind that are similar or circumstances from your life that have that similar feeling, And basically, it heals those traumas, those small traumas or big traumas that happened at an earlier time in your life. And it does so without you having to know what they were. It just it works on that deep subconscious level, and it leaves you feeling very peaceful, very relaxed, very balanced. And it's done that for me, and it's done that for thousands of people who've used it. So, you know, you can't argue with something that actually works, basically.
That's my philosophy. It's like, why mess around with something that's not broken, and why question something that works for sure? My question to you is this. I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm getting the positive vibes that this works and makes positive situations out of negative situations.
And basically.
Makes life a happier thing to live. Mm. My question is this. Why in today's – and I know recently we've been talking in the press and all around that – society is not the same as it was when we were growing up in the 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that our brain spends so much more time dealing with negative and not concentrating on the positive?
Well, I think it comes back to that word trauma. I think we have situations and circumstances that happen to us that cause us to be afraid. And each of us is seeking happiness in our own way. And people who have certain things happen to them, they draw conclusions about life and about themselves from those happenings, from those traumas. And from that point forward, that predisposes you to feel, first you feel, and then you think along certain lines. So you have to kind of cut that in some way. You have to, and for me, I've discovered that change the feeling, you change the thoughts. Change the thoughts, you change the life, essentially.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question? I hope.
It pretty much does. I'm just of the ideology that after you try to complete the art of suicide, in my mm-hmm. case, twice, that you tend to not think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here because you're the expert, you never want to nor do you allow yourself to think in a negative sense again, because nothing in this world can be any worse than thinking about wanting to take your own life.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so, I don't know, maybe, you know, people like you, people like me who have experienced life's sometimes worst scenarios, then turn the whole thing around and live a very productive and positive life the rest of the time that they're on this earth. And mm-hmm. so maybe what I'm thinking, and I'm long-winded in saying this, is that maybe we all need to experience some traumatic situation in our life to realize how precious life is and how important it is to be positive in life instead of so negative.
Well, sometimes it's very difficult to be positive. And, you know, I have a computer background, and this process I've created is based on a computer model, actually. It's not psychology. And we do create there are created within us certain programs that run automatically. For example, when someone walks up to you and puts out their hand and says, hi, you are going to automatically stick your hand out and say hi back. That's a program. That's a socially accepted way of dealing with people. And what happens is we are literally, we create these programs ourselves, or they are created within us, I suppose you could say. And it's very difficult to to break that conditioning to not want to respond in a certain way. You have to be very determined, but also the key to it is awareness. You have to be aware that the program is there and that you are responding not as yourself, but that program is responding within you. Once you recognize that, then you can take steps to either to change that program or make it go away.
Would you say that cognitive behavior is a direct tool from what you're doing, or what you're doing is a direct tool from cognitive behavior? Because I know when I was in therapy, my therapist was a very big user of cognitive behavior, where mm-hmm. you think of thought, you feel it, you react to it.
Yes. Well, my experience is a little bit different. And I've worked with a number of people over the years who cognitively had a great understanding of their situation, and cognitively they could take that awareness. It created an awareness within them, but the feelings remained. It didn't really deal with the feelings. It didn't change them. They were still there. So it's like, yes, I'm aware that how screwed up I was and how difficult it is, and I'm aware that I have to change, but I still feel this fear, or I still feel this this overwhelming anxiety, or whatever it happens to be. This particular approach deals directly with those feelings, and in changing those feelings, it changes the thoughts that underlie them. It's a different approach, Lloyd.
Okay, and that's fine. I just wanted to see what the approach was from the Z point and from cognitive behavior as far as similarities or differences. Now, you say that people can resolve psychological issues with the Z point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you give us some examples?
Well, my own case, I suppose. I was a person who had a tremendous anger. My father was an alcoholic, and I think he beat me quite regularly because he had a view. I think it's passed down generationally, these particular issues, and I had a tremendous anger toward him, and I felt myself to be a failure. I had very, very low self-esteem. So these feelings were always sitting on my back, ready to be acted out in certain ways. And I can give you a very quick illustration of that. When I was about 11 years old, I entered a bicycle race in my hometown, Labor Day. And I had a 10-speed bike, and man, I could go like the wind. So I entered this race, and for most of the race, I was leading. I was going like crazy. And then all of a sudden, I thought that I had finished, that I had crossed the finish line, when actually I hadn't. So what I did was I stopped pedaling because I thought I'd finished. All of a sudden, like 10 guys passed me, and I end up last in the race. Now, what was it that told me that I had already crossed the finish line when I hadn't? And I believe it was that program that sat inside me that said, you can't be a winner because if you're a winner, you can't be a winner. You're a loser. So it literally distracted me away from winning that race. And I think that happens to people all the time. It's a program.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, because I've had situations in my life where I've thought, I can win this, but I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And yep. And so I don't allow myself to win. And when I do, I'll give you an example. In my life, I'm an avid bowler. I bowl competitively as well as league. And I mm-hmm. was at a state tournament in Texas one year, and it was like a 2-month tournament, and they had, you know, places for people to, you know, bowl. Then you bowled, and then depending on your score was what place you were in the tournament. Well, it turned out that after my bowling that Saturday afternoon, I was in first place in the singles tournament. And I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive. But I won't end up, and I kept saying I won't end up there because the tournament's another 5 weeks long or whatever. And, yeah, I didn't end up there, but I ended up 13th. And I ended up winning $300 in the tournament. So, but I still, like you, I didn't believe that I deserved even 13th. I didn't even think I was going to finish, you know. I knew that there was enough time left where I would be knocked from the top and possibly out of the money and so forth and so on. But I understand totally where you're coming from because I've lived my whole life that way. And I don't actually live my life that way anymore, and I don't suspect you do either.
No, no. One thing doing this, it makes you very aware of how you feel about certain things. And when one of those programs that still exists within me, and there's still a few, I'm sure, I'm aware of it, and I can take some certain steps to first of all, to release that feeling, and then it becomes like a non-issue. It's in fact, what happens typically is people will clear something. They'll be bothered by something, and they will release whatever that feeling is. And then when they finish, they say to themselves, what was it I was working on? Because it's gone so completely that they can't even recall what it was, what the trouble was. So those little programs, again, speaking in computer terms, are what we want to let go, because quite literally, if you're unaware of it, if you're not conscious of it, and you don't deal with it, it's going to continue to make your choices for you.
No, absolutely. That 100% I agree with. If you don't work at getting rid of it, it will still, for lack of a better term, it will control your life. And
yes.
It'll control your life for the negative more, you know, than the positive, and you don't want that. At least I know I don't want that, and I know you don't want that. So,
No. The
benefits to knowing this program, it's beneficial for people, but why is it beneficial for psychologists to learn it and use it in their practices?
Well, for a very good reason, because when you're taking someone through the process as a psychologist, what you're doing is you are getting the same benefits as the person you're taking through. So how I teach people to do this is I have them repeat their cue word along with their patient, their client. And typically, you know, the type of people that come to you or appeal to you that you take on, that is almost a reflection of what's going on in your own life as well. So when you use this process, use Z-Point, you're actually healing yourself along at the same time that you're healing your client. There's a double benefit there. And I'm not aware of any other process that does this.
No, I agree with you. I think that maybe, and I may be wrong in this thought process, but I've been to therapy since I've been 15 years old, and I get the direct ideology within my own brain that psychologists are there sitting trying to fix you and not using what they're using on themselves to possibly, like you said, heal the both of you and help you that much more.
That's right. I came to that conclusion as well. And it's an intellectual game in many respects, especially when you're working on, you know, things with CBT. It's a very analytical approach, and it does work in its way, but it doesn't solve the problem for the psychologist because he's busy trying to figure out why you're this way and use certain strategies to help you. This is different. It just works differently.
Yeah, and I see how it works differently in terms of actually working, where a lot of the things that psychologists use don't necessarily work. They think they work, but they don't work. I know that for a fact because, like I said, I've been in therapy for since I was 15 years old. I was in therapy when I was married the first time, and therapists would always look at the two of us and say, oh, you guys have a great relationship. You're joking, you're jovial, you're nice to each other, blah, blah, blah. And yet that wasn't the point at all. We actually had a relationship that needed fixing, and we ended up getting divorced anyway. So it's a good point that psychologists learn it because it has benefits for them to use in their practices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's like a fireman. It's like, Lloyd, it's like a fireman. You know, typically firemen are attracted to fires because they, in something about fires, I don't want to use the word enjoy, but they're drawn to. Well, psychologists are drawn to psychology because typically they want to figure themselves out first, just like I did, you know?
Is that why psychologists are always psychologists and let me reword that. Is that why psychologists are always said to have more problems than their patients and that's why they went into psychology?
I think you could make that argument, yes.
You know, I mean, I think about it and I chuckle all the time because I've heard that saying over and over and over again. And what did I do when I decided to go back to school? I decided to go to social sciences and got a BA in psychology and sociology. Why?
That's right.
Because I wanted to understand what was wrong with me, and once I understood what was wrong with me, I wanted to help the world not have to deal with the pain that I had for 36 years. So,
absolutely.
It makes perfect sense to me, and I think that if more people would understand that and not make it a quote-unquote joke, we might be better off society-wise. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But let me have you give all the information you want to give out to my listeners that can get your e-book, to get your other books, and to get in touch with you if they want to use you.
Well, my website is www.zpointforpeace.com. I'll spell it out, ZPOINTFORPEACE.com. And I also have a blog at zpointforlife.com. But if they go to my Z Point for Peace site, and on the left side, there's a place where you can put in your name and email address, and I'll send you a short ebook that explains the process in depth. And actually, you'll get a series of emails that that actually tell you how to deal with anger and guilt and various issues. And it's all part of the process, part of the package that you receive. There's no cost to it. It's just about getting this information. For me, it's about getting the information out there about how I have perceived that the mind works and that the emotion, the part that emotions play in the whole process. So if they want to do a search at Amazon on allowing happiness on cue, I have a book that you can purchase. I don't know how much it is, $13, $14. And it basically explains the process in detail and also comes with a link for a recording where I actually take you through the process for whatever particular issues that you may be having. And as I said, it puts you into a deep meditative state and you feel fantastic, truly.
Now, I got one more question that popped into my head while you were giving the information out. This process that you have called Z-Point, I understand after speaking with you how the process works. Can it be used to get you, like, okay, in my case, I suffer from depression. I take Zoloft every day to handle the anger issues that I had, to handle the depression that I had. Can this program, Z-Point, be used to, in place of the medication, and get you off the medication?
Over time, I believe it can, yes.
Okay, which is a positive thing to know because I, for one, despise putting chemicals in my body just to stay healthy. And if there are other ways for me to stay healthy, I would rather use them. So it's nice to know that there's programs like yours out there that can eventually help you get off of the meds. So.
I want to say one thing as well, Lloyd, that this approach comes at this whole issue from a different perspective. It doesn't view you as being broken and needing to be fixed. It views you as already being whole, but over time you've accepted these limiting beliefs and attitudes and feelings, and it's a matter of basically releasing your attachment to those to allow the whole and complete person that you are to come out.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I understand. And that's a good thing to make the point, because I was looking at it from the angle of being broken and using it to help fix you. But
yes,
you're right. It starts with you being a whole, fixed person and just making you more or less a better person. So
that's right. That's
yeah,
right.
I understand. So you're going from, you're not going from negative to positive using it. You're going from positive to greater positive.
From positive to releasing all the things that are negative. The
right.
Positive is already there.
Right. Well, I appreciate you coming on today, Grant.
Well, it's nice talking to you, Lloyd.
I'll give you the last word if there's anything else you want to add to the conversation.
Well, goodness. You know, I'm doing this, what I do, because I enjoy doing it. And it's, I don't know that I'm going to save the world, but I'm sure having a good time as I go along, okay? So that's all I can say on that.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and spending a short part of your day with us, even if it is from the great country of Peru, and you're using your abilities down there to help the people down there.
And I appreciate you having me on, Lloyd.
You have a great afternoon.
You too.
All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to LifeIssuesWithLloydRosen.com. And that's going to do it for another week of Life's Issues. We had an opportunity to talk with Mr. Conley about the Z-Point program that he has. I had an opportunity to further my information about depression and suicide and hopefully help people out there. Just remember two things in this life, that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And second of all, you are only one person in the world, but remember, you may be the world to that one person that you talk to. Like I said in my first half hour, do not be afraid to talk to anybody, because that one person that you talk to may be that one person who was thinking about ending their life, and they found hope in you and decided not to, and they turn out to go on to bigger, better, and greater things. Until next Thursday afternoon, Have a great week, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.